everybody, and welcome to the Theatre Pitch Podcast. My name is Jem, this is Joe.
Hello.
And this is Sean.
Hi. You all right?
And this is the podcast where we as theatre makers take a random online encyclopedia article and we each come up with how we would pitch it being a theatre show. We're going to turn a Wikipedia article into a theatre show, basically. And then at the end, we smush it all together. So this week's article is, Joe, would you like to inform us and the audience, or at least mainly the audience, we should know by now.
Yeah, I'd hope you two know. But this week's article is Mobile Phone Jammer. A mobile phone jammer or blocker is a device which deliberately transmits signals on the same radio frequency as mobile phones, disrupting the communication between the phone and the cell phone base station, effectively disabling phones within the range of the jammer, preventing them from receiving signals and from transmitting them. Jammers can be used in practically any location, but are found primarily in places where a phone call would be particularly disruptive because silence is expected, such as entertainment venues. And you know what's an entertainment in theory?
This theater. Podcast! Oh, yeah, theatre.
How did you guys find this article?
Easy.
Yeah. Joe's forming a thought about it and an idea now. I'm always impressed. I love my idea. I want to go first.
Wow, you know what, Gemma? Go on then.
Hey! Okay, so my pitch for Mobile Phone Jammer, I'm going first mainly because I've got a weird fear that it's an obvious idea. But what I want to do is I want to do a radio play escape room. So.
Oh yeah, the obvious idea. Fucking hell. I like it, but Gemma, that was not the obvious idea.
Was it not? Okay. It's one of the first times where I've come up with a pitch where I was like, that's the first idea I've had, and I'm not going to change it. Yes, so it's a radio play escape room. So in the article, it talks about how phone jammers use radio signals, so radio play, to jam phone signals, which is all quite auditory anyway. And it, I want it to be an escape room because it's this idea of how do we use technology and how can we put it in... Basically, I was reading also through where it's legal and where it's not legal. And here in the UK, it is illegal to use a phone jammer, but it is legal to own one. Primarily, they are used... They're illegal, really, to use in anywhere other... The only place that really uses them are prisons. So... This audio play escape room can be played anywhere. We might sit and say that when we debut it for the first week or month or however long, we do this set in an old prison where we kind of eventize it a little bit so people can do it all together. But you can do it wherever you want and you use your mobile phone. And the story is that you are a prisoner in a UK British prison and you have got your phone, and without your phone's ability to call, without all of the functions that a phone jammer will stop your phone from having, you need to escape from prison. And so you've got your classic puzzles, you've got your classic bits. I think we develop an app. I'm interested in how we integrate like the actual common things that you find on a phone, like a timer and like, you know, messagings and various different things like maps and whatnot. I don't quite know how much of a phone jammer. The Wikipedia article didn't mention if it jams like Wi-Fi signals and 3G signals and things like that. So I'd like to play with the actual thing of this mobile phone. But it's essentially you escape from a prison, and I wanted to kind of discuss this use of mobile phones and technology and how useful it is to have the ability to call out and how functional it is when you are in a sticky situation. Because one of the big key reasons we don't allow phone jammers is the big argument is that it also stops your ability to make an emergency phone call out and call for help. So I want within the story, as you're trying to escape the prison, is it actually turns into the situation where do you turn back to go for help, or you're in a bit of an emergency situation, and just bring in those that infuse a little bit of that discussion that way. But mainly escape from prison using a radio drama, your headphones, some fun audio stuff and a story as you're going through it, and your phone. That's my pitch.
I'm just going to ask a couple of questions for logistic reasons in my head.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you start in a room, and the radio drama aspect is does your phone give you, like, the narrative?
So, I would imagine the easiest way that I see doing it, or at least the neatest way that you create a user experience, is by creating an app, right? And what we can do is that as part of entering into this experience, you've got your headphones on, you do your normal checks that you'd usually do. And then it plays in my, what I envision is that the radio drama element of it is that it's you and a couple of other people are trying to escape from this prison, right? So you've got their voices in your head, as if you're, you've got them in your ear. Maybe it's one of the voices is actually, we play with the idea that you'll have headphones in, so it's a controller somewhere else, I don't know. Which probably wouldn't work because it's jamming phone signals. But the radio drama element, the audio element, provides you with all of the things that make a good story. So the characters that you encounter, the sounds that you'll hear, and various different things like that. So you physically can do it just from your sofa, right? I feel like Sean's going to point out how close this is getting to just being a video game.
No, my question was, does the audio come out your phone? And I got that answer. So yeah. it comes out your phone and you wear headphones?
Yes.
Okay. And you said you can do it from your room, so it's not specific to... it's not specific to, like, the space that you're in.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, no. The answer is no.
It's not. Okay. So the escape aspect. So are we doing it that you have a narrative in your headphones and that relays to something on your phone, so your phone can track where you. If you're walking, if you're running, what else can phones do? You can take pictures. So to unlock, to escape or unlock more of the narrative, do you have to do tasks on your phone?
Yeah. And it's kind of that idea of, okay, so if a phone can't make a call, what else can it do? What else is it good for? And can usually it could even be that you say, okay, we could reframe it out of a prison if we want to and say you're locked inside, right? And just go full dark room with it, not in being quite and that idea of saying
I think you've got something there. Your phones can do a lot of things, and I like the idea that it is about phone jamming and about how you shouldn't use your phone, but you're using your phone for this, and but you're not using it for calls. Okay. What am I saying? I'm saying there's lots of stuff you can do. Like there's a game called on the old PS4. There's a series of games called like PlayLink, and you use your phone as the controller. And like some are quiz games, but some are fun party games, and like you take pictures and you can draw on them pictures. So there is aspects of that. Joe's nodding his head. It's good. Yeah. So there are aspects of like using your phone to, one of the tasks could be, you have to, take a picture. I didn't really think where this sentence was going, but yeah.
But you get it. I mean,
so Gemma, the sound's coming out of headphones.
Yeah. Into your ears, not into anywhere else. Into your ears.
Yeah, I it's got legs. It's got legs. It's an audio. I'd be more specific with where you're putting it, because I think at the minute it's just a bit. It's what are you trying to set? Because like it's meant to be about phone jamming, and that's where your prison thing was coming. I think you should go more down that aspect instead of being more like, oh, you can do it from your sofa. I'd like double down on your idea. Yeah, don't try and make it commercial. Don't try and make it for every Tom, Dick and Harry chilling on his free piece. Make it for people who want to get out there and want to go on an adventure, and tell them to make sure they charge their phone beforehand, because that would be the worst. Oh, I'm trapped. My phone's dead. Run out of battery.
I mean, there are kind of two ways of doing it. There's the way that's pitched, or like, I don't know logistically how you would do it, or the trouble that it could cause, but you could sort of say, okay, by opening and entering into this app, right, this thing that we create, you won't be able to get back into your phone, and it like locks you out your phone, and like that idea of being jammed up that way. I mean, I did really want to like have elements of it that did explore this question of like dependence on our phones, and the idea that, you know, when we're in an emergency, we just say call 999, or we are so quick to just quickly Google something, or so quick to just call to phone a friend, and that dependency on that connectivity is what I'd really like to explore. I'm just very aware that I always try and take a fun idea and make it have a meaning. So I downplayed that in the original pitch. I didn't double down. You're right.
Yes, I am. I'm going to cut that bit. Yes, you're right, Sean. Just loop it over and over again. Like, yeah, I know.
That's it for the rest of the podcast, is that we just hear, yes, you're right, Sean. Yes, you're right, Sean.
Strange how this became a 10-hour podcast that's just Jem saying you're right, Sean, over and over again.
I'm out.
And now he's technically out of context. Got me saying it as well, so we can loop both of us.
Oh,
got
yours.
It's going to turn into a remix eventually.
Sean, you're right.
God, Sean, like, this is just like how you were right about Updog.
Updog? For me and the listeners and viewers at home, explain.
Oh, Sean thought she was going to say it. I really thought she was going to say it.
We got so close.
It was right there. It was so close to podcast gold, but she... Joe, we're trying to keep, you know, on track on the podcast. So don't distract us with in jokes.
With that in mind, do you want me to jump in straight with my pitch?
Go for it.
Yes, dog.
Thanks, dog. So I'm gonna do something here that I think Sean, you're possibly not gonna like, because I'm going off article here. Which was basically that. So for the listeners at home and anyone who hasn't read the article, to be honest, basically, as I think Jem hinted at, it's a brief description followed by a list of the legalities of various countries, and whether they are or aren't illegal. Spoiler alert: they're illegal in most places. But the one that I was faintly interested in was, it said specifically that France made them illegal in 2012. Now, I was wondering what happened in 2012 that meant that they became illegal. And while I was looking it up, instead, what I found is the story of a man in the town of, I think it's a town at least, but of Messanges, which is in Lyon, in France. That's how it's pronounced, Sean.
There it is.
Sacre bleu!
But yeah, who essentially, he was facing jail time back in 2012 and a fine, because he said his kids were addicted to their phones, so he'd bought a signal jammer to stop them from using their phones at night time, and accidentally didn't realize how strong it was, and had his entire neighborhood's internet out and mobile phone signal for about a week.
Oh, gosh.
Just this little town in France, everyone losing internet because it's like Steve's bedtime.
Yeah,
and
because
losing shit because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because little Lucy and Pierre couldn't get off their phones. The entire town lost their internet for about a week.
Oh my gosh.
But so I want to basically turn this into something of a kind of like a farce, whereby someone does this because they're sick of their kids being on their phones all the time. And it starts off with people kind of being angry at this person, being like, we got to find who's blocking this signal. We got to sort it out. And then the more it happens, the more that actually the town kind of realizes like all the wonderful things that actually happens when they're forced to be off their phones for a while. And I thought you could have fun little stories like, you know, because it's a French farce, there's got to be a sexy bit. So there's a couple who are going through like a rough patch who they decide to make a sex tape, but accidentally it gets uploaded to the cloud just before the internet gets cut out, and they're trying to go around anyone who might have also had access to their cloud and trying to just make sure this file wasn't downloaded onto their phones and whatnot. And there's the thing of they realize that actually this fun adventure of them going around trying to kind of get rid of this sex tape has kind of been a fun experience that brought them close together. Or you know, there could just be like a granddad who's trying to get the internet back because he's trying to get in touch with his niece in Paris. I don't know. But yeah, but I just thought, yeah, basically just doing it kind of like, you know, Chocolat, Amélie style, these kind of like whimsical French like farces that have loads of like little tales weaving in and out, kind of for people who don't watch only French films, kind of Pushing Daisies style, if you remember that show.
I really just like that. I really love the idea that like this guy's also walking through the town and like overhearing people being like, my internet went out too.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh
no, but like totally, oh, no, oblivious. I think like totally oblivious to this idea.
Yeah,
like,
the dad, the dad's thinking, oh, I've wasted all this money on this jammer and the internet was going to go out anyway.
Or maybe in this version of it, somehow the jammer actually sets up a radius so that only his house has internet. So he's just like, oh, it's not even working.
One of his kids is an engineer. And does a reverse.
Yeah, one of his kids has developed a phone jammer.
Yeah.
That they use for, that only covers their house. But in doing so, it propels the signal further. Oh no, yeah, he's just like, why did I waste all this money? But yeah, I think that would be pretty fun. And of course, I've looked it up, and near it, by to Messange, in the neighbouring province of Vieux-Bosseau-les-Bains, there is the Cinéma et Théâtre Labré. And yeah, it looks like a lovely little kind of like...
making this up at this point.
Le
French word.
But yeah, it's a lovely little kind of theatre/cinema. And I think it'd be the perfect place to hold this little quirky French farce.
Brilliant.
I so, like the story. I like that.
I so love it.
That should be a film. That should be like a sitcom. I like that. Give me a Disney Plus miniseries.
Is it end on? How is it staged?
Like all my things, it's end on.
Okay.
And I thought maybe just for a bit of fun, I was going to say before, if you want this for free, for doing like your idea, Gem. If you were going to do it as an escape room but in an actual set location, tell people at the beginning that there's no point trying to get on the internet because a phone jam is installed. But then don't actually install one and see if anyone actually tries.
Brilliant.
And have the last clue be hidden. Yeah, have one clue just be hidden on the internet for anyone who actually bothers to listen to you if you say to them, don't go on the internet.
Brilliant. I like it. I really like it.
So yeah, I'm glad you both like it. Sean, do you want to just jump in with yours?
Yeah.
No pressure.
So mine's quite similar. Like, I really hurt me when you said like, oh, there's this old person trying to communicate. So my I'll talk you through my mindset. So I actually drove up to Sheffield this weekend and hung out with Joe.
Ooh.
We didn't talk about this podcast at all, which sums us up, to be honest with you.
But tell me.
No, to be fair, we talked about other podcasts.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're too far. I'm from London. It's not like someone else who lives further south can or anything. No, it's too far. So the reason why I'm bringing that up, because like I realised like during like just getting to Sheffield, like how much I actually use my phone. So like I picked someone up from Wolverhampton on the way there. So like I had to like message that person saying, oh, I'm coming now. Oh, I'm here. I had to use my phone to get to his house because, you know, I don't know the mean streets of Wolverhampton. And then from Wolverhampton, I had to get to Sheffield. And like at that point as well, I had absolutely no idea where I was going because I've been to Sheffield from Birmingham, but never from Wolverhampton. So I was like completely like my phone is saying this way, right? I will go this way. I went through towns where I was like, I don't know whether I feel like at one point I did like turn it off and then turn it back on again. So I was like, this is true. But my point is, I use like even like so mundane stuff, like just like living my life, just going somewhere. I use my phone so much, like to wake up. That's my alarm. I get up and then just like stuff like that, taking a picture, you do so much stuff that you use you. It's become such an integral part of life now. Like, oh, like we were in a bar having food, but Liverpool were playing. So even though I'm like communicating with everyone, I've still got it open. It's just like I can just like, yeah, it's there. I'm just keeping updated with like the news and all that stuff. It's so integral. So that's where my idea came from. It's like we didn't always used to be like that. You remember the times before mobile phones? You remember the times before we could just play Snake on the bus? There were times before that. What did we do? What did people do? So that is what my show is sort of going to do. It's the plot is basically, it's very GCSE, very basic. But the plot is that there's a competition and a town has decided, and it's like a test. You know, like, oh, we want to introduce this and we're going to test it out in a town. And the town like goes, yeah, we can go without our phones for a week. And that's the whole, that's the conflict, is that there's a, they agree, the whole town agrees to have a phone jammer placed in the center. That's sort of like essentially bottles the town to the rest of the world. And we follow certain characters. It's sort of like an anthology. We do like I'd like the feel of like Come From Away, you know, where like they're all in it together. They're all there, they're all in it together. I'm making it a musical. It wasn't gonna be originally a musical, but everything, I love a musical. We're gonna have a musical, and my idea was, lots of short pieces of like a bit, you know, like how Pulp Fiction, it's like story here, story there, story there, story there, but they're all in the same town. And it's that, and it's just like of them like living there, trying to live their life without a phone. So we can go, so we'll go from like the we'll go from something like positive one. So we could do like the children are enjoying their childhood a bit more. girls aren't too worried about like their image on Instagram and that. They're out more, like, children socializing a bit more and like worrying about how many likes they've got. So there's a positive one. My key one was that, like, a pensioner thought, well, you know, I've lived through the wars, da 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 da, I don't need the internet, I can go over a week. And then realizing that he can't talk to his grandkids because he's like, oh, I haven't fought. I didn't realize that I used that. Yes, that was gonna be my like. That was gonna be like my like. Oh, actually, we're all having a good time. We don't need our phones. Da, 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 da. And then I was gonna cut to that where it's like he's isolated, where like, oh, we can't use it to stuff. That's what that was really my thing of like. We go high, we go low, we go. So yeah, and that was gonna be my cause, and especially as a song now. God, people are gonna cry. It's gonna be like the memories moment. It's like, but he's got memories of his grandkids. That's what it is. But he can't see him anymore. Boom! It just comes to me, Joe. This improv stuff's all right, isn't it? that's my idea. Really, is that it's this town of people, and it's them adapting to life without a mobile phone for a week. Some it's gonna leave a positive aspect on their life. I'm thinking more that like the younger generations would actually start to feel more of a positive see more positives by not having not being so reliant on a mobile phone. You know, like some would be out exploring, like, well, I don't know how to get there without my phone, but now I've got to work it out. Like, they're gonna get more. But I think like it's the older generation where they're gonna start feeling more isolated and stuff like that. And I was listening to a podcast about something, and it's all about how one decision has like butterfly effects but you didn't realize that would be that caused that, which then caused that, which then caused that. And it's sort of exploring that within the town by taking your mobile, you know, your mobile device, which seems like, if I say like, if we say, oh, you can win a competition if you don't use your phone for a week, that as a premise, as like, that's basically the premise of the show. That, like, well, yeah, sound, I can do that. I've got self-control. I'm a big boy. You know, we lived through the world, we lived through the world wars, we lived through the Blitz. Let's get our Blitz spirit, you know. But then when you actually think about it practically, it's like, oh, well, I can't do this now. Or I need to get this, or I need to, oh, well, how did we do that before phones? And that's the idea of that, sort of like every person is like a branch or like a flap of the wind of the butterfly that affects. Yeah, that's my idea. I think I explained it poorly, but that's my idea. It's in a theatre, Gemma. It's end on. People will come and watch. And if I'm feeling really risky, if you come and watch it, you can't have your phone. You have to hand your phone into the cloakroom, which means people got to talk to one another in the interval.
I am so excited for people to hear this podcast because these are three really good ideas I really, really want to see.
But Sean,
yes,
what do you do if someone wants to buy an ice cream in the interval with Google Pay?
There you go. There's one of the things that someone will have to come to terms with, that they'll have to now, like, oh, I haven't got my phone. Where's my wallet? I don't even use a wallet. I don't know where it is.
I'll have to remember my PIN number.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's one branch. That could be another old person sad one where they forgot their PIN number and had it on their phone.
And then some dickhead like me can come out and be like, well, actually, the N in PIN number stands for number. So you're just saying PIN number, number right now.
And then I turn up out of the
corner.
Now
I'm saying PIN number, 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 number.
And I turn up out of the corner with cash.
No, but that's one aspect to explore. Is that I know loads of people now that use their phone, and I know loads of people now that have like started to use their phone because they forgot their card, but they've got it on their app.
Yeah.
So now, so like, so even though we've gone that way, my idea is like, no, actually, go use your wallet. That's like one of the branches. Like, oh, I wanted to get my white chocolate lion bar, but I forgot I haven't got my phone anymore, so I've had to go home to get my wallet. You know what I mean? Mm.
But there's also like sometimes if your bank or whatever decides, oh, we think that there's a bit of suspicious activity here, they'll ping you via your mobile app, right, for your bank, and you can only unlock your card with certain bank suppliers. You can only unlock it via your mobile phone.
Yeah, so stuff like
Wait,
that.
Do they I've do
just
that?
Realized another one. Yeah. Just realized another one. Oh. Like, people will have to like go to a bar and talk to a random stranger now. People will have to try and hook
Date?
Up with another, hook up with each other like how they used to do it in 90s films. So there's stuff like that. That there's loads of things that you just like, yeah, I can give up my phone, and you completely forget about other stuff.
I love it. And you know what I think? I think I know how to smush this.
They can be on a nice evening walk and they see a beautiful sunrise. That person will just have to enjoy it instead of like,
remember it.
I'm going to have to put that on the gram. They can't anymore because the phone is jammed. And that could be a really nice song as well.
I was going to say, Sean, thank you for at least making mine and yours very easily smushable.
Yes, well, we sort of had the same idea, yeah, but in different countries.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'm interested to see how Jem has worked out to include hers. Jem, the smushing floor is yours.
I'm very excited because I think that this would be something that I would want to see potentially more than the other three. So it's immersive, right? We take over a small little village, right? Whether it's...
As you do. Because, yeah, you know, there's loads of them villages.
No, but there are...
Are you suggesting we take over, like, Popeye Village again?
Yeah,
bring that back to a season two classic?
Either Popeye Village or there are, like, old... There's a military base somewhere that was an old village that was, like, cleared out.
Yeah, I know.
That does actually take place there. I can't remember what
I'm winding you up, Gemma. I know what you've got in mind.
I know exactly.
I'm joshing you.
So, it's an immersive piece. We take over a small village and we put a phone jammer in. And the audience are there and it's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure. So... You can either go and interrogate why there's suddenly no phone signal, because the audience don't know this. Like, why is there no phone signal? And they can and could come across the parent in Joe's story, who's actually caused this phone jamming signal, and go on an adventure that way. They could come across the various different characters in Sean's pitch, and this idea that, oh, actually, we could just exist in this, or we could even try and escape it. We could, you know, so we have all of these different characters that the audience encounter after one big announcement saying, oh gosh, folks, we're so sorry. There seems to be no signal. What do we do now? And the town folk come out and you can kind of choose your own adventure in that way. But you can end up trying to escape it and find the way out of this village until you have phone signal. You can sit and just decide to enjoy it and enjoy an Instagram-free life, which sounds beautiful. You can end up being the detective to try and figure out what's caused it. But all in all, in an end, we're mixing the stories and the structures of what you guys pitched with this idea also of, like, you can choose to have an escape room element to it as well. But what it inherently does, and it's one of the things that I really enjoyed and see a through line between all three of our pitches, is that inherently we're all exploring this idea of what it's like to live without a phone. And instead of just giving a story about that, instead of just doing an end on play, why don't we just take people's phones away? Why don't we give them the option to experience it real time? So that, I know, a few years ago I went to a Fringe show where, They did. You put your phone in a little envelope at the beginning of the show and you gave your phone to the performer. And it sat in a basket on the stage and nobody could touch it and it was all fine. But you went for an hour without your phone. And it was talking about you know, very much the effects of what mobiles do to our brains and, you know, the dependencies of us on mobile technology. But what it really was trying to do is get you to sort of walk out a little bit transformed in feeling like, oh, I don't need to have my phone so surgically attached to my entity. But I think my smush of how I would smush this is a day long, so a little bit of an endurance piece, but a day long immersive event where it's choose your own adventure that incorporates all of the different elements that we have seen. And there's no audio drama part of it.
Okay, I do have a second smush I'm going to throw in here.
Ooh.
Inspired by that smush, which is, to be honest, restoring it to the end on theatre of mine and Sean's. But I want to throw in another story for it, which is one of the subplots of it is a pair of friends who are doing an online escape room when the signal goes down and they're like, well, this is very immersive. And they spend the entire week trying to work out, without any internet access, how to get the internet working again, because they think that's part of the escape room. And then they just come out of it at the end of it, just like, oh, that was a good escape room. What have you all been up to?
I am surprised that none of us pitched, like, the potentially really theatre wanker thing of, like, it's just an hour of people dealing with, like, no signal. Because a lot of us have spent, like, an hour of our lives at one point or another trying to restore the internet because it's gone down. Or, like, I've got no fit phone signal, and you spent the hour, like, trying to, like, web chat your service provider saying, what the, you know, it... And just let it be what it is, which is the human race's panic when they don't have signal and connection to the rest of the world.
Isn't that what
happens to you lot when you lose signal?
I just go I just turn it on and off again.
Yeah, usually I just wait to see if it fixes itself and make myself a cup of tea. The thing is, and here's a fun fact for you, work can't not pay me for the time, even if my internet goes down.
Yeah, but you are talking to the person who has, like, been mid-live stream for shows for over D, and the internet's gone down, and I have been that person who is, like, neighbours have gone, I heard you screaming earlier. Are you okay? It's like, the internet went down mid-stream. No!
Quite frankly, in that instance, what can you do? Now, my question was going to be, for those of us who are on our phones, where can we find OFIT D?
I like the way that Joe is so determined to be the segue king that Sean was making a genuinely good segue. And
thank you,
the
Gemma.
Same one. And
no
Joe
one has
was
ever
just like,
said
no,
that.
No. And like, you know those drama queens who like come out from behind, like you're on stage and the drama queen comes over and like literally palms your face out of the way. Joe's just done that
in
with the segue.
In my defense, I don't know whether someone's using a mobile phone jammer on me, but my internet has been out by about 5 seconds for this entire record.
Yeah. Felt like Joe was trying to shut up ever me then. Not having it. I will never shut up again. I like that song. That song grows on me, you know. You know, and then there's like the whole, you know, there's the costume change. Such a good song. Great song, great musical. And talking of great content, you can find us on Linktree, OFITD. And on there, you'll see our Instagram, our Twitter, our YouTube. Basically, everything that we do, all that good stuff. And if you want to hear more good stuff like this podcast, why don't you like, share, and subscribe? If you're watching this on YouTube, this is my face. Subscribe, hit that bell icon, and you'll never miss other stuff with my face in. And if you want to see more of my face, don't know what that bit is, but I'm going to stick with it. You can go to Instagram. And my Instagram is still Shawnee B. And I am there. It's my face. Hey, Gemma. Do you have pluggables to plug?
I do have pluggables to plug.
Then plug them.
So if you go to Instagram and go on to OFITD_Gem with a J, or go on to Linktree, linktr.ee/GemRolston, I think it is. It'll be in the description somewhere. Then you'll find everything that I do, because I do lots of things like this and art and don't know, twiddling my thumbs, but it's super fun.
Oh, you do art. You do art, Gemma.
I do
Isn't it funny how we've never seen that wall before, Joe?
I think we've seen a different wall every week for the entire this run of the podcast, haven't we? Anyway.
Every different wall every week, but it's the same room. Mind-blowing Inception stuff. Hey, Joe. Do you have pluggables to plug?
I've got a plug in honor of this week. Get off your damn phones and read a book, you kids.
Yeah.
It would be so much better
for instance,
if Joe
you could
had...
read...
It would be better if Joe had... Joe, do you have a book that you've written? Because that would be the
apple. No, but I was going to say... No, I was just going to say... yeah, if you want a recommendation for a good book, I've recently started And the Ass Saw the Angel, which was the first novel by Nick Cave, who also,
Oh, I know that name.
Episode 13, Season 1, No More Shall We Part, by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Theatre Pitch Season 1. Go and check it out.
Wow, what a circle. Are we doing recommendations now? I recommend, it's a great book. Not enough people read it. I recommend the D&D 5th Edition Monster Manual. It's a great book.
Do you just read that as a book,
yeah,
Sean?
Well,
you know what?
You've always got to be prepared. You never know. You've got to know their weaknesses. What happens if a werebear attacks me down the canal? I need to know.
What, if you're taking a trip to Coventry and you get attacked by a beholder? Next week is the last standard episode of Season 3, but I don't want to hear any tears about that because, Sean, what's
Joe?
The show that you've been going on about constantly for what feels like the entire run of the show?
I really hope you're not mugging me off. I really hope you're not mugging me off. I've wanted to do a train for quite a while.
Oh no, don't tell me that the article is Starlight Express.
I have
Express.
Been wanting to do a train.
It's not Starlight Express.
I think we know what I want to do.
But it's not Starlight Express, but you know what it is? It's the BR Standard Class 573082 Camelot.
That's a train.
The BR Standard Class 573082 Camelot is a preserved British Railways Standard Class 5460. Based on the Bluebell Railway in Sussex, England, and owned by the 73082 Camelot Locomotive Society. We're going Starlight Express, baby! Woo!
Is it... No, but Joe, seriously, what sort of train are we talking? We're talking like... It's a locomotive, right? It's like the old... It's like a steam train.
It's a steam train. Yeah, steam train. Steam train, baby.